There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it.
Welcome to our listeners. This is Tony, one of your hosts here at the Member Guest Podcast. Wanted to welcome all of you again to the next episode here. But before we get into it, we want to just kind of hash out a little bit of some mid-winter blues and just kind of talk a little bit about how we're improving our games and some places we've maybe gone to play it, and maybe some new things we've been working on in our swings, and maybe some new equipment that we've gotten. So kind of kick that off. I want to turn over and kind of ask Andy. Andy, what have you been working on recently?
Big overhaul of the action. Totally, massively changing my golf swing. It's really been about 6 months now since I started. Tony, you were there in the beginning. It was like last fall.
I was there.
Yep. And I'm finally like turning the corner a little bit with big swing changes, which is very gratifying because it is very hard to make changes and change movement patterns and things you've been doing forever. And the main things are for the golf nerds out there, for the sickos, getting deeper with my hands in the backswing, getting the club more on plane. I used to kind of like have a C backswing where I would suck the club under and then lift my arms and get my left arm really high, and then I'd be steep in transition and I would slide and dump it under and flip it. So we're changing a lot of things.
Do you right think we now. Should post a video of that?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, on the YouTube video.
It's not a recipe for really good golf, especially under pressure. I have like pretty good hands, so I could kind of time it up and hit it okay sometimes, but no one has that good of hands to get away with basically fundamental flaws. So now we have our takeaway. So first of all, I want to touch on two swing aids that have been game changers for me that I want to hype on here on the podcast.
No free ads.
Number one is the, and I got this from our boy, Ben Siegel, tour professional, who is
mini tour professional,
mini tour, but he's aspiring PGA tour pro.
That's right.
Really good stick. Awesome dude. It's been helping me with my action. The first swing aid is the Tour Striker Smart Ball, which is like a little ball that blows up and you put it in between your forearms and it keeps you connected. Really helps you from flipping the club through impact. And the second one, which has been just, I'll be honest, I got it this week, but we've done about 4,000 reps with it already. And it is the Swing Glide. It's like a yellow little hanger thing that goes on the grip of your club, and there's like a little C kind of piece of plastic on the end of it that fits into your forearm, and it helps you set the club going back and get the proper wrist hinge in the backswing, which has been a big issue for me. So Swing Glide, Tour Impact Ball. The other thing that's been working a lot, which is a Grady Meyer tip, is to slow down in practice and hit, 25 balls with 100% focus and intent. So I'm guilty of historically like trying to kind of cheat movement patterns by just hitting 1,000 balls over and over and over again and ripping them really fast and really slowing down, really focusing on the changes. I set up the video in at Data Straight offices, Uncle Jamie's simulator. Set up the video camera system, so I'm getting feedback on every swing. So literally make a swing, go to the monitor, watch the swing, make sure it was good, go back, make another swing. So just that stuff has been really, really helpful.
To be fair to you now, Andy, you if your game is on, you can go pretty low, man. So like, I know that it's a pretty big ordeal to undertake as big of swing changes as what you're trying to take on. So kudos to you for trying to take that on over the winter.
Yeah, it's been a grind. And I think that's an interesting, little tangent is like, you know, what is the point in which you say, like, I got to make changes, you know? I know, like, there's some people I know that, like, have literally never changed their swing, like my dad. And he's just never, I don't think he's gotten, like, a few lessons, but, like, he's a really good stick. He's never changed his golf swing at all. But I think, like, if you, you know, for me, like, my goal is to play golf as at the highest level I can possibly play at it. And so, I think not being afraid to really change things and overhaul things, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I've been criticized for changing my golf swing too much probably by people. But I think for me, like it's not like cosmetic things I'm changing where it's like, oh, I don't like the way this looks. Right. Like, I think that's where you probably get into territory where it's like, yeah, you don't like, if it's functional, who cares kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My golf swing was not functional. Like I was steep into the ball. Like literally the shaft was straight up and down, coming down, and like I would slide, dump it under and flip. Right. So like you can't really play golf that way. And I was missing it two ways. And like, that's just not fun. So, if that's going on, like, yeah, maybe it's mechanical and maybe you need to make, you know, changes. I know for me, like that's definitely what the situation is. So,
yeah. So, I mean, candidly, I watched you hit balls today and it is looking very pure.
I'm excited. I'm really excited, man. Like, I'm just excited. I'm excited to not miss it both ways. I'm excited to just hit one shot and groove it and hit it, whatever it is. And yeah, so that's my little mid-winter check-in.
Love it.
Let's go to Hagel.
Has snails.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's peaking at the right time, so.
All right, so it's changed a little bit here. So I cut down my driver. I've got a little lead tape on both the, actually I cut down my driver and my 7-wood to make them go the numbers. So the driver's carrying about 280, 285 now, as opposed to a little longer. I've got so much more control just looking at the dispersion, both at second swing and here. I got into the, all the Titleist woods as well. So I'm in full TSR from driver 3, 5, 7. I'll play the 4-iron on super windy days. I'll bring out the 7 when it's not as windy.
Team Titleist.
I am Team Titleist now. Yeah. And my surprise for you guys was that Johnny knows this already, but I couldn't help myself, and I messaged Con Man Tan at the farm, and he helped me order a set of the Blackout T100s.
Ooh.
I saw him on Instagram, and I had to have him.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
That's going to be pretty sick.
I don't know, like, how much I'll game them just because yeah. I'm, like, a, you know, one of one drafted Mizuno guys. I like my Mizuno irons a lot, but they look sweet, and there's not that many sets of them. Mm-hmm. So I had to get a little set. So I'm excited to see those.
Awesome.
They're all black. Sick. Like, everything's black out. They're the ones that the Cam Smith plays. Yeah. Everything's black. Yeah.
I just got a, on that note, I did order a new golf bag. Titleist Lynx Legend. And I'm going with a black golf bag this year, which would be a first for
interesting,
me, which I'm really excited about. So
sleek.
It should be sleek. And I mean, shout out Jack Reister, who we just had on the Bannon pod. He has a black one too. So I kind of, it's probably not cool that I'm doing this.
Yep.
But I did try to differentiate it a bit, and I added my name on it, which is not a cool thing to do, apparently, according to Jack. So
I mean, that's unfortunate because I have two with my name.
Yeah,
on,
I made my so. Back a little, I made my bag a little less cool. So that I wouldn't, you know, kind of be too encroaching into his.
I have a black Betty, so I mean, it's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Way.
So yeah, those that's like the club changes. I played in Arizona a couple weeks ago. You brought it up, Johnny, because I had mentioned I had never been a part of a hole in one. My buddy got a hole in one on hole 8 at Greyhawk, which was really sweet to be a part of, even though we didn't see it go in. That was the worst part. Didn't see it go in, but it was still sweet. And then I saw another hole in one the next day. Ricky Fowler dunked it on hole 6 at where they were playing Waste Management Open.
And you were there? You saw
I was there. Yeah, I have the video on my phone. I didn't see I saw it all go in, and I took a video. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I just happened to be standing here.
You're the hole-in-one guy.
It was kind of funny because I was actually, so I thought that I could cheat the live books, and they were doing 3-ball. You could bet on who would win the hole. And so I'm like, I'm going to go to a par 3 because I think I can get an edge if I see the first guy go and he like stuffs it. So I go there, and like right as Jason Day is teeing off, it closes. So I'm like, oh, I can't do it. So then I stay and watch him. Jason Day goes, and I think it might have been Siwoo. And he actually hit a really good shot, and then Ricky dunked it.
So sick.
It was so awesome.
It's awesome. On the betting front, I had some nuggets on Max Homa yesterday.
Ooh.
Hurt. Plus 1,800. I had a nice little hammer on him and was really just
Rombo's quite just crushed. Too
good. It hurt my soul.
Yeah. I love Homa, though. Andy's team titleist, so he's one of us.
Yeah, he's one of us. Yeah.
Our guy.
Homa's so sick right now.
I love him, man. He's just such a... well, we're going to get into full swing in this episode.
Yeah, let's hold off on that.
He would have been a great feature, though.
He would be. He might be in the next season.
Yeah. So, Tony, what about you, man? Saw you hit some golf balls today, and your action looks really good. I think you're moving in the direction of hitting little cuts, huh?
I'm working on hitting some pole cuts a little bit and trying to get a little more control over the big stick. And it's bleeding into all the other clubs. So I feel that we're going in the right direction for sure. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit more controlled overall.
Yeah.
Tony and I are going to be pole cut guys. I'm pole cut guy now too.
I like what I saw a lot, in the simulator. So
yeah, I felt really good about it. As far as some travel goes, I was fortunate enough to play last year in the 3M Pro-Am.
Yeah, so can we tell the rig story here?
Yeah, I think we should.
I saw that you think we should. That.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to play in the Pro-Am last year, and we teed off in the morning. And by the way, this day was so windy.
Yeah.
Some folks that I was able to play with was, some friends of the pod, Jack Reister and, Rick Helling, as well as a good friend of ours, Chris Holland. And, we were able to, do a little battle against Chris's sons, came out victorious there, but, a little bit more, on a broader scale, we did run together some pretty nice holes. And we ended up actually winning the Pro-Am.
W.
We got the dub. And what Andy's referring to here is...
So tell us what happened. I think it was last week, right?
Yeah, it was a week or two ago. And yeah. and our friends from 4Play Podcast were in that Pro-Am as well. And they were pretty hyped. I think they tied for second, actually, and lost in a coin flip. So they got third place. And... our friend Riggs had to post a little bit about his quote unquote hardware that he received.
To be clear, 4Play, they're not our friends. But nothing against them at all.
No, we don't know them.
But we don't know them. But he did post like a Instagram of his trophy, and he said hardware, and it was the third place trophy.
Yeah.
And Tony had gotten the first place trophy in the mail that day, so we made it a point to send a DM and say real hardware.
Real hardware. That's right. So
the first place hardware. Yeah. Member guest podcast. So
anyway, no hate there.
Yeah.
No hate.
Yeah. So as part of that, we got to go. We had an opportunity to win a trip, actually.
Nice.
And went down to an island called Anguilla.
Anguilla.
Anguilla. And we ended up being able to play a couple rounds of golf. Not my best rounds, yeah. But we had a good time and spent some time away, and it was really awesome to just get out of the winter here in Minnesota and lay on the beach for a little while.
Love it, man. That's fantastic. Sounds
nails.
And Johnny, we were talking today. You have a big trip coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited. I am fortunate enough to be revisiting the beautiful Pebble Beach resorts within the next couple weeks. Turns out my pops was able to find a way to get us into the father-son tournament there. So super stoked to go out and play there. I mean, I mentioned on our first podcast ever, my grandma lives out there, so we get to spend some time visiting some of those courses, and to know that I'm going to be able to go stay with her and have fun dinners and drink red wine and hang out, but then go play all the Pebble courses within the next few days to follow. I'm so stoked. Kind of talking about some of the changes that we've been making. I've been making some changes as well. The pro from Winsong, these guys' clubs, has been coming out and helping me. We've got an office with a simulator, so we do some work there in the off season. And he's kind of been working with me. This might be something that some other amateur golfers are out there dealing with, but basically I was kind of throwing the club, and he's got me working on rotating forearms and really trying to get into that spot where, you know, you're keeping that hinge of your wrist and getting that that forward press going. So working on that, and then just actually started hitting some new irons. We have too many sets of irons probably in our office right now.
It's like a candy store, man. It's like a candy store. Yeah.
So it's hard.
I just hit the Jamie had the brand new mirrors.
Yeah,
his final club.
Oh, they're butter, aren't they?
I mean, it's every day something showing up there that's fantastic.
So it's with that being said, I mean, it's hard to not hit other irons when they're surrounding you. So just I have these PXGs that weren't mine. They weren't spec'd for me. They're actually Matt Kleinbrook's old clubs, if you guys don't know that. He's a taller and maybe a little bit bulkier dude than me. So I think they're 125 gram shafts, maybe 6.5, and they're hammers. So I started messing around with some of Jamie's sets and found these Callaways that are just money. I think they're the 2021 Apexes, but they've got a lighter shaft in them. And I think I went from hitting my 8-iron 150 to somewhere 170-ish range.
Yeah.
And that was just a ridiculous jump for me. I don't know if I'm really going to switch right away because it became a little bit less predictable. But, I mean, picking up that kind of yardage is fun for anyone. So
it's amazing.
And I'm excited about that.
And so you're going out to Pebble Beach. Are you playing any other courses while you're out there?
Yes, hopefully. I haven't gotten the full itinerary, but it sounds like we're going to try to get in Tuesday, hopefully play Monterey Peninsula, which would be so sick. I haven't played out there yet. And then the next day we would go straight to Spanish, next day Spyglass, last day of the tournament's Pebble, and then hopefully we'll get out and play Cyprus too. So we'll see.
You got to take photos.
I mean,
that's unbelievable, dude.
I'm so hyped. I mean, just leaving Minnesota this time of year, you guys will understand, is incredible. I think we're supposed to get 15 inches of snow.
Can I ask a question about Cyprus?
Yeah.
So we have kind of a general rule, I would say, amongst the boys. And it's, you don't wear a logo of a club unless you've played there.
100%.
Unless it's the Masters.
Yeah.
Right.
I kind of want to wear a Cyprus logo.
I'll pick you something.
And I haven't played there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll ask our listeners, like, what do we think?
Can we ask the other podcast members?
Yeah, it's a top 10.
Then I say it's a taboo.
Yeah,
I would say.
I know. It's a hard no, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would love.
The logo is unbelievable, though. The Cyprus tree.
I would love more than anything to be able to wear a Cyprus Point logo.
Dude, if I went to Cyprus, I would just show up the next day and I would just be dotted in Cyprus. I would have a Cyprus shirt, a Cyprus hat, a Cyprus belt. So I would find the shorts, the Peter Millar ones with the Cyprus logo in the back. I'd
shoes,
be like, do you guys have any shoes with a logo? Like socks with a logo? I'd just be walking around. I'd be like a NASCAR driver, but Cyprus.
I don't even know about play there, but I feel like if you're going to wear the logo, you had to get it there.
Yeah, I think you have to play the course.
Well,
you
think? The reason. Well, like, what if you go to a tournament though? Like,
no, I think I would err on Jordan's side because you go to like.
But the tournament logo is different than like the club logo.
True, that's very true.
So if you're wearing like a Honda Classic shirt, like that's cool, or like Genesis.
But you're not wearing.
But you're not
shirt.
Wearing like a Riviera like hat.
It's kind of funny how
I guess if you've been there, like, I don't know, interesting.
I think
let's
that's
take that one to the listeners. I want to see what their thoughts are on it.
Well, just to add on to that or to cap that off, I feel like it's almost an unspoken thing where if you're wearing it, golfers expect that you've played it because, you know, the first question is going to be, oh, how was it? Right. Like, you know, Jamie was gracious enough to get me some awesome stuff from the beautiful bucket list course that we all know of. And you
that's
know,
Augusta.
If you're walking around rocking a head cover, whatever this from that, people are probably going to expect that you were there. Like,
what if you told them and you were like, this is how it is, and you're really talking about Tiger Woods 05 and you knew every shot, you know?
To each his own, I guess. But that's the way I look at it. Like, if I see someone wearing a logo from a really nasty club, I'm expecting that they've been there, they belong there. What was it like? And so it's always tough when you weren't there when you got
you're
it
running
and
the
and
risk
get
of
question.
Getting of having a really awkward conversation
right exactly right. But we'll leave it at that.
I bought
now.
It on eBay
yeah people do that though, man. Like,
I mean, our good friend Suitcase did that.
We talked about that on the band. Our guy Suitcase showed up to Bandon and he had a shirt with a logo on it. And we're like, dude, like what club is that? And he's like, well, I don't know. And we're like, what do you mean you don't know? He's like, no, I got this at a thrift store, dude.
Because well, how often, right, when you're at a really cool course like that, you pick something up as a memento or some way to remember your experience there. Yeah. So it's like, it kind of goes that's both
good,
ways.
This
like
is
that,
a good tangent. Yeah. This is a good tangent.
It's interesting.
Rules of course merch.
Yeah.
I will say again, if I did play it, I would be just head to toe.
Oh, 100%. Every day. 100%.
Yeah. I'd buy like a blazer, like, you know what I mean? Like whatever I can get to just rock it all the time.
It's hard not to. It's hard not to.
All right. So, speaking of new things in golf, there's recently been a series that's been released on Netflix that I think every golfer for sure will watch this show, and many, many, many people who have historically not had any interest whatsoever in golf. The series is called Full Swing. It's a series of 8 episodes that Netflix has released, and they have unprecedented access into all things professional golf, whether it's the PGA Tour, some areas within the European Tour, as well as aspects of live golf as well. And I think we'd be remiss to not take this opportunity to talk a little bit about the series. And I think Andy, you had an idea of a fun way to kind of recap.
Yeah. So birdies, pars, bogeys, birdies being like things you really liked, pars being things that were kind of meh, and then bogeys being things you didn't like as much. So I don't know. I'll throw out a par maybe, which is just the show in general was kind of a par for me. I thought it was good. It was, you know, enjoyable to watch. Look, I mean, it wasn't great. I think I had like really high expectations probably because the F1 show is so awesome. But if you kind of step back and reflect on it, F1 is just probably a little bit of a cooler sport than golf, like in terms of just making it a show and engines and, you know, like loud music and dong.
Yeah, but even on that point, like when I watch documentaries about whatever sport, like rock climbing or, you know, like I get really into those. I agree with you. I liked Full Swing, but I didn't, there's something that's just missing.
So
I don't really know what it was.
My humble opinion on this is that is going to be a common theme for very, very educated golf.
You think?
Yeah. Because, you know, I watch it with my wife and she is like, loves it.
Really?
Yeah. And she doesn't really know anything about golf. And so like when you brought this topic up, my gut goes to like, yeah, they don't have to tell us like what a par is or what a birdie is or what a bogey is. But like my wife got like that type of information, like is valuable to
her.
That's
cool. I mean, I perceived it as not a, like, cause F1 and the Drive to Survive show converted a lot of people into F1. I didn't see that this had the potential to do that. So it's really promising that she was into it.
Cool. And so that's where I'm getting at is like, I'm guessing I could be wrong on this, but I'm guessing you probably didn't know a hell of a lot about F1 before you watched Drive to Survive.
Zero.
So that's my point is like a lot of these people that don't know a whole hell of a lot about golf watching this and they're like, who's this Matt Fitzpatrick guy or who's this Brooks Koepka guy or Tony Finau or whatever it might be. And I think it's going to really drive people to understand that there are personalities in the game of golf, and even casual golf fans are not going to even know who some of these people are, and they're going to get to know them. And I really think it's going to do amazing things for golf. And again, Drive to Survive has had multiple seasons. We're on one for Full Swing. So we'll see how it turns out.
We could go by episode and kind of have each of us give our par bogey, give it a par bogey or a birdie. Like if we wanted to do something like that.
If we're going with that, I would personally go on the first episode. Overall the entire series, I'm going birdie.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think that while there's a lot of aspects on it that I personally, well, every single shot in contention I've already seen,
right?
You know, so that like that aspect of it is like, it's not like I'm learning anything because I've seen every single one of these shots already because I'm a diehard. But you see some of these other aspects of, you know, practice rounds or just interactions with when they're talking about playing a little game for some money, or they're talking about, you know, Joel Damon going to buy a stroller. Like it's pretty,
Joel Damon was on my birdies, him and his caddy.
Yeah, for so sure. Good. Huge birdie. Yeah,
might even have been a double yeah. eagle.
Let's go through the episode. So episode one to me was a birdie. I mean, like, love JT and love Spieth. I don't know what else you can say. Like, I was always kind of like neutral on Spieth. After watching the episode, like, I like him more and just understanding like how competitive he is. And also another takeaway was just like how hard those guys work in the gym. I mean, that's just like crazy. Like how much time they put in the gym, and like, they're in really good shape. But personally, like, I'm a big fan of Spieth, and I think Justin Thomas can come across, and I've been guilty of kind of judging him this way in the past, where, you know, you're sort of like, is he just kind of a jerk, or like, what's his deal? Just a fiery competitor, kind of like one of your guys that like talks a lot of smack, but it just seems like a fun loving, like, you know, like good guy at the end of the day. So that was one of my favorite episodes, the first one.
In my opinion, Spieth went up like three notches.
Why?
To me, just simply because he became so much more relatable to me, where, like, you know, he's giving his buddy some shit. They're you know, putting a little cheese on some matches, and, you know, they're giving each other a hard time. Like, it just seems like a guy's guy, much more than what I ever perceived him to be previously.
I don't like Spieth.
Really? Okay.
I wouldn't. I mean, like, I bet if I met him, he'd be cool. But I haven't liked him as a golfer, and nothing changed for me. I JT elevated for me. I've followed JT in tournaments. I just like everything that he's about. I just think he's a really cool dude. Spieth, I've never, like, there's a part of me that thinks Spieth is just, for me, the next, like, Phil Mickelson. Like, there's just, I don't know. There's something about him that I just don't.
What is it?
It seemed like a fake genuineness to me. Okay. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's actually like that, but I don't like the whining on the course. I don't like the kind of complaining and the, like, oh, Jordan, or like yelling at his caddy. Like, I don't know. It seems just a little something I don't like about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that could come from, you know, something like having the success that he did at the young age?
Yeah,
that he did,
I do. So, the tournaments and this is how I feel about Rory too. And Rory's on my bogey list.
Rory's on your bogey list?
Yeah, the Rory episode's on my bogey list.
Okay, let's get to it.
Yeah, let's just go to the next episode then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let me make my point. So, like, both Rory and Spieth have always had these, like, we're going to be the, or not that they did it themselves, but people kind of put them on the pedestal of being the next Tiger and the next thing. And one, nobody will ever live up to that. But two, they both started out so well. And, like, what do they say? Rory hasn't won a major in 8 years. I don't know what it's been for Spieth, but
you can't not like Spieth because he's not Tiger.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that people compared him to Tiger when he first started winning the Masters and, like, doing all, like, but all the success that he had. So, and it rubs me the wrong way.
So, yeah, and we all can have our own opinion. My response, my rebuttal to that is, you can't hate Spieth for everything that everybody else hyped him up to be.
Right.
He, like, just because golf media painted Spieth to be the next Tiger, quote unquote, it's not like Spieth was going around being like, I'm going to be the next Tiger.
Yeah, that's one aspect of it. The main thing for me is, like, that he seems like a baby.
Yeah, I think the on-the-course
thing, like, that's just what it is to me.
Yeah.
I was on-the-course thing is totally fair. I will say that on that note, from the reason he went up in my book is because when you, and this is one of the things I liked about the show, when you get behind the curtain and you just see what an absolute grind it is for those 100 guys, and how much work goes in, and how disappointing and how gutted those guys are when they don't play well and things don't go their way, you kind of have a little bit more empathy, I would say, for the behavior of that person. I mean, if I'm dropping F-bombs in my Saturday game, good Lord, what would I look like on Sunday at the U.S. Open if that's my career and that's my profession? So I think it's fair criticism, but I will just say, like, one of the things I liked about the episode was kind of just digging in and understanding a little bit more of that. So it gave me some context behind him and just What I like about him is how much the dude just wants to win.
Yep.
And how much he cares. Like, I think that those are cool qualities. So anyway, let's move on. Two was a electric episode, I thought.
Win or go home.
And it was Koepka. For entertainment value with the episode, I'm going to give it a birdie. I give Koepka a quad. I can't stand the guy. First of all, just let me go for a second and then I'm going to pass to you guys. The way that he was hyped up is like, this is the alpha male of our generation. Like, this is the alpha. Like, he's the dog. And this is the alpha male. Yeah. And like, it's like he's winning and he's like, it's alpha. And then like, very quickly, he's talking to his mom in the episode about, he's like yelling at her. And it's like, he's like, do you think Scotty Scheffler has any thoughts? Like, he doesn't even think out there, mom. And it's like, whoa, man, like you're freaking out right now, dude. And he literally loses his mind. And then the alpha male of our generation, the big dog, the big alpha, just takes the live money because he knows he can't win. And he says on the episode, I can't beat these guys. I can't win. Golf, and look, I don't want to steal from other podcasts. I thought Solly at No Laying Up said it really well in their debrief. Golf is a game where you judge people by their lows and how well they handle the lows and dig out of it. To go to the bottom of your game and sell out and take the money the way he did, apparently he already regrets it. After having watched the episode and getting context on him and seeing how competitive he is and how much winning matters to him, you know that's going to be a guy that's going to regret that decision for the rest of his life. Without he will question. Never get over that decision. He made it in a low moment when he didn't have confidence on himself, and that's just that is just ground to not have respect for somebody for handling adversity that way. So not a Koepka fan, take a lap.
That's exactly
how I feel, because I really wanted to like Koepka because I've always liked his competitive. I like what I saw on TV after watching that episode. He was on my bogey list. I've just always thought it's kind of cool to have that personality in golf, like the guy that's like, I'm here to win majors. I'm here to win. Love it. Yeah. And then, yeah, he fell off the face of the planet. He sold out to live. He admitted that he sold out to live. He admitted that he's a head case, like all this stuff. And it's just, didn't like it.
Three's a crowd, but I couldn't agree with both of you guys more.
I will say, to Jordan's point though, like he had such a chance to be like the narrative that they portrayed on him early in the episode about him sort of being the anti-hero and being the alpha of the generation and all that, like, that was a cool version of him. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think the hate on him before was like, this guy's a jerk or whatever. And it's like, dude, I actually liked him for being that way because to your point, because like, but those are all the reasons. Like, if you're that guy, if you're the alpha male of your generation and you behave the way that he behaved and fold the way that he behaved, like it's almost like a further fall from grace than if he wasn't that guy before.
Do you know what I'm saying? 100%. And you know, he has been painted for the past however many years as this guy. He's like, he only cares about majors.
Yeah.
And all he thinks about is majors.
Alpha.
And then when he gets there, he clearly had tremendous lack of self-confidence.
Yes.
And dude, and so for him,
you could just see it. Yeah, you could see it in like, his eyes. You almost feel bad for him, but then you don't, because you remember. I mean, dude, when he was at the peak of his, he was.
I can only get up for majors.
Yeah. Alpha.
All right, what was episode three? Was it
money or legacy? This is where they bring in the live golf.
Poulter.
Yeah. Well, so before we get into the Poulter episode, just. In general, one of my bogeys was the PGA Live. It left so much unanswered. All they did was show the clips that we've all seen on TV. Like, even, you know, for people that don't watch golf, you've seen it on the news and you've seen it on ESPN or wherever. Like, they didn't answer anything about PGA Live. And I felt like it was a cop-out of what Live is doing. I don't know. I didn't like it in general.
I totally agree with you. And I think what they could have done a little bit better job of is to simply describe some of the major differences between Liv and the PGA Tour.
Yeah, like the teams and just like what Liv's doing.
Like, I understand what it is, but again, I'm sitting in there watching it with my wife and she's like, well, what's the difference between Liv and PGA Tour and why is this different? And she didn't understand any of it. And I was trying to explain it and she's like, what do you mean 72 holes versus 54?
Do you guys feel like there might've been a PGA bias a little bit?
Yeah, maybe. I think for all the drama they hyped, there was like not a lot of drama in the show.
No, I mean, I have Phil. There was barely any Dustin Johnson. Right, yeah. Like, no and offense, like the, but Ian Poulter's like your guy that you're going to go after with Liv. I mean, come on.
And in the like commercial, they had this scene of Poulter where he's like, you picked a hell of a year to follow the PGA Tour. Like, it was not that exciting, like in terms of how they presented it. Like, they didn't show a lot of the drama and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I would like
it just kind of was like, there's this Liv thing, people are leaving, but not a lot of context on it. And I expected, having had the year we had in golf, to really see a lot of the like player meeting footage and like inside scoop on what and get candid thoughts of guys off camera. And like, we just didn't really get much of that at all.
Yeah.
Agreed.
The next episode might be the biggest birdie
Can we, on the Poulter episode though, really quickly?
Oh, yeah, please.
Let's just cover it fast. Poulter please. Is not that cool.
I think people know that.
Though. Yeah, people know that. And like, I wish they got a little bit more into his backstory just because he does have a cool like way he got into golf and everything like that. I will say like the one scene that was kind of funny in it was like when he was like, he's trying to qualify to play in the Masters at the match play or whatever.
Yep.
And he like throws his club and freaks out in the locker room. First of all, like imagine going to like a private golf club as a tour player and just like throwing a club against a locker and like damaging it. Like what a clown for starters.
Yeah.
But second of all, how he was like, I don't remember his kid's name in the episode, who's like a pretty good player, but he's like, you know, Will is going to be really pissed if I don't make the Masters. Like just like the world that some of those guys live in, like the economics of PJing to England. Like, I mean, that dude better have some serious skrill, cause that's a lot of dough to be like PJing to England. Like that's not like a short PJ. So anyway,
little tangent alert on that particular moment. Did anybody else happen to see the Instagram post? I can't remember who posted it about when Ian Poulter throws the clubs and then he opens his locker. Did you see what was in the bottom of the locker?
No.
Big old handle of Tito's.
Oh, really? Oh, I did see this. I did see that.
That's the 175 of Tito's.
Yeah. So Poulter, like, I mean, nobody really likes him and I didn't really like him more. And yeah, I mean, just, I will say like, I had a little bit of a feeling of like kind of a little bit more respect for his fits. Just because his fits are like so whack and when you zoom out and you like look at his outfits, but just what he's trying to do there, like
right.
Respect for what he's trying to do there, push the envelope a little bit. Like he's into it. I mean, like, wears his loud pants and
he's playing the bed.
I think that's cool. Like his like non-tour visor action can probably leave like anyway, but
that's his bit. So
yeah,
whatever.
Okay, so,
sorry for jumping the gun here a little bit, but, episode 4, imposter syndrome. Might be one of the biggest birdies of the season, Joel Damon.
It's an eagle.
Just the coolest guy ever, man. Him and his relationship with his caddy, Gino. I couldn't sing their praises more, man.
It's so relatable, right? Like, he's just so grounded and just, somebody's got to be the 70th best in the world. May as well be me. And like, yeah.
And the cool part is that he could be better. And like they kind of, obviously like he has this like, woe is me and all the challenges that he's faced in his life with losing his mother and having testicular cancer and all these other aspects. And for him to have the type of positive attitude that he does, now maybe it's not, he does have some self-deprecating humor that he mixes in there, but he is very, very relatable, like you said, and just, I can't really say much more other than I just loved the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like a total cool guy. And also I think really helpful context on a different approach to the profession. You know, like one thing I think people don't appreciate probably enough about professional athletes is at the end of the day, their sport is their job. Right. And so my job is healthcare. Like, it's not my life necessarily. And so I think for Damon, it was cool to see a guy who like wants to have a little bit more balance in his life. And like, you know, it's like, I just think like you got to respect it, you know, that like, yeah, he's self-deprecating and self-aware and just like approaches it like, you know, hey, this is something I do. Like, I play, like when he was like, I play golf with my friends 7 days a week. Like that's fun for me. Like I'm just a golfer. Like he said that before. And, those element, what I'll say is just that behind the scenes of this, of the show and seeing golf as a profession and seeing what a grind it is for these guys, how hard it is, how much work they put in, how hard it is to win. You kind of step back and say like, you know what? The Joel Damon approach ain't that bad.
Yeah.
Like he's a happy guy and he's not going to kill himself. Gifted. He's going to go play good golf. He's going to make really good money million, and he's going to do it for the next 40 years.
And we all know people like that in our work environment, right? That you're like, you know, this person could apply themselves so much more and they're so much smart. And at the end of the day, they just, they want to work their job, go home to their family, kids, do their hobbies, have fun. Like they don't, that's not their priority.
But Joel, that's Joel Damon also is like, he likes to have a good time.
Loves to have a good time.
I mean, like,
the Gino caddy backstory is incredible.
Incredible. Dude,
the part where he's like, man, my back's starting to hurt. Should we WD? He's just like, I'm playing like shit, man. My back's tight. Yeah. Maybe there's a flight at 3 a.m. I mean, catch it. Like, how sweet is that?
Yeah. They're at like backyard barbecue and he's trying to get home and like be like, yeah, let's not go play. Let's go to Vegas. Yeah.
and even just them being like, do you think you can win a major? And he's like, no.
Okay, and then no. He kind of made a run. Good enough. He made a run at,
US Open.
At the US Open.
Yeah, he was leading.
I mean, maybe that takes some stress off them mentally too, to not have like crazy expectations for yourself. I mean, it's gotta be hard to go out every week and be like, hey, I'm going to place top three this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
maybe he plays better for it, but the way that he is.
Yeah.
And this is actually really interesting. People are like, oh, what if he cared more? Like, oh, what if he worked harder? Like he might be worse if he did those things.
100%. He could. He did say in the episode that when he is in contention, he does lock in a little bit more.
He's
and
got that
he,
dog
and
in
he
him.
Has a little bit of fight in him. That's right.
Yeah.
So regardless, overall, I just couldn't sing the praises of Joel Damon anymore than I already have. The fifth episode is American Dreams. This is following Matthew Fitzpatrick at the US Open.
Yeah, so Fitzpatrick is just like the all-time par for me. Like, I don't really have strong feelings about him either way. Like, he kind of bothers me just in terms of like how much of a sicko he is about like he's. I mean, look, you have to have respect for a guy that's like that dedicated to his profession. He's tracked every shot for like the last 10 years that he's hit. Some of that's like kind of weird to me. Like it's a little bit much.
Like why do you need to have a yardage book with all every shot you hit from 2013?
Let me put it this way. Fitzpatrick does not seem like a good hang.
No, he alluded to that. Like when he was talking to your boy, Dan Rappaport.
So
when they were at the night before he's talking to Thomas Peters and they're like, oh yeah, the only time Matt Fitzpatrick ever danced was probably in college. He's like, no, I had to practice.
Yeah. Like, whoa. I mean, just come like, on, look, I mean, for all the reasons you love Joel Damon, those are the same reasons that you're like, meh on Matt Fitzpatrick. And props to the guy. He won the US Open. He won the US Amateur. Like he's an unbelievable player. Is he like somebody that I like pull for? Not really. I also do, Tony, you called it out and Jordan will go to you in a second, but intro Dan Rappaport into the series who got a ton of screen time. I'm going to touch this a little bit later when we get to episode 8. But we just kind of had an admission from Dan Rappaport that he jock sniffs Matt Fitzpatrick in college, which I thought was a little bit weird. Like he was like, yeah, he was eating lunch by himself. And
I know who you are.
And I was like, I know who he was. Cause I'm a golf guy and I knew what his ranking was. And so I went up and became friends with him. It's like, okay, well that's just like not that cool, I guess. Like, I don't know. That's just, just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Like,
for sure.
What'd you think of the episode?
Same thing. I could just end there, but he is a Bettinardi guy, so it's like,
yeah, you gotta.
He's vanilla true. Ice cream, but like, you have to put a little chocolate syrup on top because he's a Bettinardi guy.
It's true.
So he gets
gotta give him credit.
But yeah, no, he's just kind of. I agree. Like,
not to dog the guy, but I mean, he's got braces on.
Yeah,
man.
I know. How old is he? Cool.
He's like in his mid-20s.
That's all right.
I will say the shot that he hit on 18 in the US Open was one of the sickest shots ever.
Out of the bunker?
Yes.
And it was the most clutch shot. Maybe out of the whole series, sure. It was the most clutch
obviously,
shot.
Obviously, like he's a gamer, dude. So like you give him a lot of props, but he kind of just reminds me of like the guy at your club that like really, really cares about the club championship. Mm. Like, you know what I like
care so much about it. Like, they're grinding. They're, yeah, well, club championship next week, man. Like, I got to grind. It's like, whoa, man. Like, chill out a little bit.
Well, and here's the thing. I couldn't find a good answer on this. So how many people were they actually following?
More than what they featured.
Right? They had to, because they had all of the major winners, and then they had these cool side stories. Mm-hmm. And a part of me felt like Matt Fitzpatrick only got in because he won a major. Right. And if he didn't, like, if Zalatoris makes that putt, like, we probably see a lot more Zalatoris.
Well, so, you know, yeah, I listened to today, actually, I listened to the Golfer's Journal. They did an interview with the main producer, the guy who, like, had been pitching the show for like a decade to, like, all the executives at the PGA Tour, and was just like, just laying it on thick. And finally he got the approval with Jay Monahan. And he was going down the path of like how they had actually people joining mid-season. Like, Rory McIlroy was not in.
Going to do it.
He was not in for more than half the season. And then once it kind of, like, he was saying how, like, they're at the U.S. Open and somebody sits down, and all of a sudden Rory comes and sits down with all the cameras there and starts BSing with the guy. And so, like, clearly he wanted to be in it. So
I'm sensing that Hagel and I are going to argue here soon.
I think we do have to give Fitzpatrick, though, some props for a little dude like that to go up and play against someone like DJ. And
oh, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Look, he is, man, for sure.
To keep, like, up with someone like that, I got to give him some props.
His game is sick, and he added all that speed and everything. Just not a cool bro. Like,
he's
just
different.
He wouldn't want to hang out with him.
Yeah, he's built different for sure.
I mean, I think his game is freaking nails, but yeah. All right, going on to the next one. It's called Don't Get Bitter, Get Better. It's from Tony Fino.
My favorite.
The tone.
Oh, your favorite. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, take it away.
Oh, I love Fino. I don't really know. Like, I thought that I liked him before. It was like the opposite effect for me with like Brooks, where I thought I'd like really like Brooks and I didn't like him. With Fino, like, I liked him even more. Just, one, as a person and a human being, I don't know how you can't. Two, just, like, the coolness and the style and, like, the background. He's got, what is it, 9 kids? Something like that. And he's managing all the stuff at home. And he still has all these super high expectations. And I just feel like his time's going to come where he's going to go on this run and win a bunch. And
oh, my God.
I just love Fino. I don't know. I just watched it. I love Fino. I love what he's about. Love his game. Love all of it. I was a big Fino guy.
You said it great in a great way. I mean, he is such a cool guy. Yeah. Like, and his wife is freaking so sweet too. Mm-hmm. And the idea of like him winning and having his entire family there, like you said, has however many kids he has, is it's just really, really cool.
Oh yeah, he won here
in Minnesota.
He did, yeah.
Minnesota.
He won back to back. He won here and then in Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah, went back to back. Yeah, I just love Tony.
He's such a beast. He's fun to watch. And to know that he's that much of a family man and puts family first more than anything when he is that good of a player and has such a good career. I mean, yeah, I can't say enough good things about Tony. I love him too.
Agree.
All right. The next episode is Golf is Hard. Yeah, it's rookies.
Mito and
Sahith Theegala and Mito Pereira.
I just love Sahith Theegala. Like, he was a big sleeper guy I loved coming out of that show that I'm going to pull for hard. I think seeing how much he cares, seeing how he played in the Waste Management. Basically, he got a bad bounce on 17, but he piped driver right at the green, which was
really unlucky bounce.
Super unlucky. Like, hit a really good shot. That dude's going to win. Like, you can see he's got the ingredients. He's got the mental makeup, the mindset. Like, he's totally unafraid under pressure.
He's going to win a lot.
Like, I have a lot. That guy's cool. Also, just seeing, again, just how much he cared, how much of a toll it took on him. Like, the emotion, like, the authenticity of him,
yeah,
I thought was really cool. I thought, like, the little scenes with his family were cool. Like, his dad just being like, Sahith, like, let's go. Like, yeah, his dad was just the ultimate. Dude, I love Sahith Theegala. Sahith Theegala's dad, that guy seems like the man.
Yes.
Loves his kid, like wanted to do whatever he could to make his kid good at golf. Yeah, man, just I'm a huge Sahith Theegala fan. I didn't really expect that coming into the show because he's kind of just like Sahith Theegala, you know, but like when you get to know the guy a little bit and just see like
he was really sick in college though.
Yeah.
So really sick
cool
in college.
It is like I think we forget last year was his rookie year. I mean, now he's just a tour name. I mean, he's at the top of leaderboards and he's playing really well. And it's just, it was kind of cool because Sydney was asking, she was watching that one with me, like, you know, oh, how's he going to do all this? I'm like, actually, like, this is last year, right? He's doing really well.
Yeah.
Tour now.
Couldn't agree more.
Pretty cool. Seems like a positive, just like good, fun dude to hang out with. He seemed like an awesome guy to play golf with.
100%.
Like, wouldn't you want to get paired with Sahith Tagala? Like, just be good vibes all day.
I'd probably, yeah.
So I'm just seeing his name here, and I almost don't even want to bring it up just because, but Mito Pereira. At the PGA Championship on 18, man.
So hard to watch. Really sneaky, cool, good footage of him on 18 when he basically hits the shot and he goes like, I effed it up on the 18th hole. Yeah. It's like, actually, no, you hadn't at that point.
No, he hadn't at that point.
He could have made a bogey.
He could have made a bogey, but you could see how he checked out.
Yeah.
Mentally. His demeanor just changed.
I mean, the follow-through on his with his drive,
I didn't know that he was a rookie general, and I didn't know that he was so hyped up and supposed to be like the next thing. I didn't know that about him.
Also went to LIV.
Like, he did go to LIV very recently.
Just, I don't know. I'm out on, he like, seems like a cool guy.
How interesting too is like the comparisons with him and Neiman being such good friends and playing together at such a young age and him being so much older than Neiman. And when he gets to the tour, Neiman's already been there for 4 years
and already won.
And those roles have reversed. And then, it was such a bummer to see that. I remember watching that tournament live last year. I was coming home from a tournament somewhere, but I just remember seeing that. And once I watched in that Netflix show, you hear the guy on the tee go, "Hey, biggest shot of your life, kid, whatever." I'm just
don't mess it up.
Yeah, that's like, how another, messed up is that? Totally, like,
yeah,
who says that?
That's another triple bogey is American golf fans.
Totally
suck, dude. So like imagine going to a golf tournament and being like, "Yeah, man, like I'm gonna scream at the golfers. Like I'm gonna be like, yeah, you got this." Even if it's like positive, like, "You got this," like, or like, "You suck." Like
the mashed potatoes, losers, dude, whatever the hell these guys are saying.
Losers.
I 99.5% agree with you. The half point that I don't is in every other sport that's completely normal.
Yeah. But
in other sport, we all do it. We all yell at our TVs. We go to games. We yell and do that. Like,
I understand that, but nobody goes to a freaking football game and is like, "Watermelon."
Yeah. Oh yeah. 1,000% they do. You ever seen Eagles fans?
Typically.
No, they don't.
Can I say something about that though, Jordan? Typically you yell during the play.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, I agree, if you're yelling when the
ball's in the air, like, yeah, cool, like go in the hole, like, right, that I love that. Some of the greatest golf clips of all time are go in the hole,
yeah,
or right, get in there. My issue is like guys walking up to a tee box and like some 52-year-old dude, like, whatever, head to toe in, you know, Travis Matthews, you know, like, is yelling at a professional golfer who's 25 years old. Like, get a life, man.
Yeah.
And just trying to do it just so he can say he got in his head or something stupid.
And like, you go to Europe and that's not how golf is. Like, the fans, American players talk about it. The best fans really are in, I mean, I drafted the country of Scotland, so I'm going to throw it out there. But like those people are real fans. They know the game. They know what's going on.
Golf,
like,
purists. Yeah.
So that was a massive.
Again, I am not condoning it. No, I'm just saying it is interesting how in every other sport that's so normal. And like Rahm had an interview today where he talks about how in every other sport, like, when athletes are very passionate and they speak out, like, they're like, "Oh, they're so passionate." But in golf, like, they're supposed to be a little more reserved and professional when they do their interviews and all this stuff. And so I do just think it's very interesting how golf is
totally fair,
so
point,
different, yeah, than that.
Very, very, very fair point. And I would agree with John Rahm. Like, I think them having passion is fantastic. I would love to see more of that. You know, like, it's one of those things, like, who can say the funniest thing?
Yeah,
it's like, you know what I mean?
It's like some guy with a shark Greg Norman shirt on from like Marshalls, like yelling at 25-year-old kids, like, "Dude, get out of here!"
Like when they, like,
yeah, they're trying to get on TV. Exactly. Their buddies are at home listening. They're like, "Oh, hey guys, I'm about to yell mashed potatoes. Listen,
I'm
sure his shorts are cut well below the knee, like, kind of thing." You know what I mean? I'm just describing the aesthetic, but
I also, you know, but to be fair, like in the Matthew Fitzpatrick one, they call him Matty Skechers, and I gave a little giggle, but it's like, you know, it's like.
Yeah,
it's just the timing thing, you know.
All right, so I apparently we're about to get into it on the Rory episode.
Yeah, so the last episode. Well,
did we
here,
hit DJ though? We didn't hit DJ.
DJ didn't have an episode.
He didn't have an
he
episode.
Was he was in an episode.
He was in an episode.
And
yeah,
he was a birdie for me. I like DJ, man. Like, I know he went to Live. He's worn going to Live. He seems like just a totally good, solid, cool hang. Great athlete that plays golf. I don't know. I just,
I think that's why he stayed out of it. Honestly,
yeah, because he just owned it.
Yeah. I do.
I just like him. I like him. I you know, feel like he'd just be like a cool guy to hang out with.
His stance of like, hey, if any person out in the world got offered the same exact job description, but you got to do less work and make more money, yeah, most people are going to take it. And so
I think that's why we didn't see much of Cam Smith. We didn't see much of Phil. We didn't see much of DJ. Like, those are the guys that are just kind of like.
I mean, I'm a PGA Tour guy. I'm 100% in on the PGA Tour, so I'm not, you know, looking at it from that aspect. But anyways, last episode is Everything Has Led to This. This is the showdown between Rory McIlroy and Cam Smith.
Go ahead, Jordan. Why don't you, you're kind of rolling your eyes
over
there.
I get the same feeling I do with Spieth that I do now with Rory. And I generally speaking, like Rory. My issue with it is, like, you hear, like, I didn't even know that about Rory coming in, like, halfway through this show. But it's just such a, like, Rory thing to do, where it's almost like he's pretending to care way more than he does about this whole PGA Tour Live thing. And like, I'm going to step up and I'm going to be this guy that's going to do all this. It's like, do you actually like care this much? You just are you putting on this front of pretending to? And that's the feeling I get when I hear him talk and do all this stuff.
Yeah, but like, didn't somebody have to step up? Like, Tiger was hurt and out of the game, and the clear superstar in golf, besides Tiger, of our generation, without question, is Rory.
Sure, but I just don't feel the authenticity of it.
I you know, not to have a disagreement, but I do feel like he's very passionate about it. Yeah, so maybe the way that he approaches it is maybe a little off color for you, but for me, like, I get that he really feels a sense of loyalty or ownership of it.
No, that's just how I feel.
I think it's interesting because I kind of feel the same way as Jordan.
Really? Like, this is just blasphemy.
I don't know if I've maybe paid enough attention to when he talks about it or when he's been asked about it, but I just get the same feeling that most of what he says when he tries to address it or gets asked about it isn't of that much depth. And it's usually like, oh yeah, I'm staying here on the PGA. Like, it's typically always that kind of conversation of like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Like, this is where it is. This
yeah,
is
but
the deal.
I would say Rory, I mean, I sort of can see the argument of like, is he sort of white knighting a bit? But I think there's been multiple instances where Rory's been sort of controversial with his comments. And he even said in the episode, like, there are times where I feel like I've probably taken it too far with things I've said. He's gotten into it with Greg Norman. He's gotten into it with Phil. Like, he clearly cares, in my view. He clearly cares about the history of golf and wanting to move the game forward. He does a ton of stuff that he doesn't have to do at all outside of his stuff. I mean, like, even just going to the clinic that they showed him going to, like, 2 weeks after he tragically lost the British Open in heartbreaking fashion, just shows you the kind of guy he is in my book. And I love Rory. He's the guy, you know, of all of them that's really stepped up. And also want to just give a quick little tangent here. There was a very subtle scene in there that was awesome, which is when Rory was talking to the other PGA administrator or whatever. And he says, like, he's like, you know, some of the guys weren't on board or whatever with having to play in 15 events. And Rory's like, yeah, I told Patrick, if I'm willing to do this, you better be willing to do this, which is just cool to imagine Rory McIlroy just bodying Patrick Cantlay in that fashion.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds so kind of douchey overall, but
no, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't sound douchey to me at all. It's 100% true.
It is.
Who
true.
Are you, Patrick Cantlay?
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
But
like, even going back to this whole, do you guys remember the whole Patrick Reed Rory tee throwing thing?
Yeah,
of
course.
Everybody was like, Team Rory. We all hate Patrick Reed because, of course, we do. I mean, the guy's been caught cheating all this stuff. Then do you remember when you saw the video?
I saw the video, yeah.
What did you think when you saw that?
Well, to be honest, Rory said, I didn't even see him throw the tee at me.
Yeah, Rory
didn't hype that up. He was complaining about
No.
He said I didn't even see him do it.
Yeah, we're
in a pattern
that.
Here now of holding players accountable to what the media says about them, which I think we need to talk about.
I think that's
informed your opinion on Spieth and Rory.
I would say the one thing. Just sorry for interjecting, but the thing I really like about Rory is he is always available and will give them a real answer when somebody asks him. I think they do give him. He does give real answers, and he gives more authentic answers, in my opinion, than any other player does.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's clearly it's controversial. I mean,
I like having anything else controversy on it? Here.
It's just how I feel.
Did you like? In this episode too, there was another little like, almost like Easter egg that bothered me deeply. Which was like my out of bounds shot. Do you guys remember in the episode when they're showing the 18th at St. Andrews and they're showing Rory when he was trying to make a two to tie Cameron Smith?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know, it's this really dramatic moment in the episode and it's like, you know, like Michael Bay music, like Batman, like, and it's like really intense. It's like, and then it like pans out and it's like shows the pandemonium and then like all the people like running around everywhere. And it's like this, it's the apex of the episode. Right? Right. And then they just pan down and zoom in on Dan Rappaport walking down the fairway. And then they go back to Rory. It's like, why did you give me that? Like, why do I care about Dan Rappaport walking down the fairway? It was like this dramatic. He's like in a sweatshirt and he's like walking, like looking at his phone. And it's like, no, like, no, I don't care about this. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, this guy's not interesting to me. Like, I don't want to see him walking down the fairway. Like, I want to see Rory, like, try to hold us for a two. So anyway. I got into it with some other buddies in a text thread the other day because they're like, why did that bother you? That's like a nothing cutaway, throwaway scene. But it was like, it just felt so like forced. I feel like Full Swing forced Dan Rappaport on us for 8 episodes. Like it was just a lot of screen time for him. And
they had the other announcer. I forget her name. I'm not even going to be able to remember her name. Oh, yeah, this is great. Johnny, look up her name. So they had her on there, too, I think. I think they both got equally screen time. They were just trying to play in the, you know, you have the golfers and then you have kind of one of the birdies that I had was kind of seeing the behind the scenes of the PGA.
Yeah.
Was really cool. The bogey that I had was as a golfer and fan of the PGA, I think for both golfers and non-golfers alike, it would have been really cool to see, you know, the people that make those things come to life, not only the events, but like the tour vans and maybe a little bit more of the caddies and just kind of like, there's so much that goes into a golf tournament. You know, they're there from like Monday through Sunday sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and there's a lot that goes into it. And we didn't really see that side of it. I thought that would have been cool to see practice rounds and, you know, the charity stuff they usually do with people on like Tuesdays. And I thought that would have been cool to see. I thought that was a miss.
Yeah. The thing that I will say is, you know, they only had 8 hours to show an entire season worth of episode or worth of content. So it would be really, really difficult to edit thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of content down to,
and who knows what else they had,
40 minute episodes. True. So like everything that you said, I think there could be a whole show on like, you could do 8 episodes on tour vans and just the dynamics about that. And like the grind of caddies and like I think there could have been an entire episode about Gino and how he sold his car so he could live out of a Prius.
Yeah.
Like, really, I mean, there's so many storylines that they could go down, and they had to choose 8 specific storylines. And I thought they did a pretty good job. And it just shows how much content there possibly is going to be out there in the future.
Yeah. I think, general, like high level thoughts, some of this we covered, just seeing like how hard it is to win, on tour, the behind the scenes of how much these guys grind, was like really fascinated too, just by like dudes getting lifts in the day that they're playing. I didn't really know that. I guess I don't really know a lot about like golf fitness, but like even Tiger actually said in his, one of his interviews, he's like, and this is such a Tiger quote. He's like, yeah, Friday's going to be a big day. Get up in the morning, get a big lift in. He's like, go out and try to shoot a number. But it's like, yeah, like just seeing how much these guys grind on their bodies, like, Anybody who says golf isn't a sport, like, yeah, there's some guys out there that are a little pear-shaped or whatever, but they're pretty flexible and, like, really athletic and able to swing a club very, very fast. So that was cool. Also, just seeing the pressure cooker of everything for these guys, I think it is, like, unbelievable how much pressure these guys are under to win.
Every shot, everything
matters, like, even from the guy that's like, and it's all a spectrum, right? It's like you have your guy, and I thought the show did a good job of capturing that spectrum, giving us a wide range of players where, like, you know, to Spieth, it's about winning majors. And like, you know, you see him win at RBC Heritage and he's like, I won. Like, you know, he's like, now I just want to win more, right? Like, but to like to Tagala or, you know, a guy like him, it's like, you know, getting a win means everything at the Waste Management Open. And so it's this kind of insanity of like the goalposts constantly changing for these guys of like, you know, success, right? And that pressure just ratchets up and up and up and up and up. And knowing that they have to stand over a golf ball with the people screaming, with the crowd roaring, with everybody yelling, their palms are sweaty, you know, and they've got to square the face on a round ball and hit it 300 yards down the middle of the fairway. It's really unbelievable.
It is
unbelievable what these guys do week in and week out.
I would also piggyback on that and just, you know, the concept of professional golf. If you don't make a cut, you don't make any money.
Yeah, that was really cool too, to see like behind the scenes, and actually like was almost more interesting when you're sort of confronted with the video of it. It's like,
yeah, $0.
These dudes taking a PJ to a tournament, dropping whatever 30 racks on a jet, and their team and their coach and their significant other and their family, and they walk away with $0.
And the house,
they
and
literally
the house
just spent a ton of money playing a golf course they probably didn't even want to play for 4 days to, or to 2 days to make $0.
Yeah. And they're away from their family and whatever.
It's renting a house and
you got to pay, and you're paying your caddy too. And it's just like, it's just like everything is like stacking
up
on expenses.
It gives you a level of understanding for why guys left to live, to take guaranteed money.
Yep.
And it gives you a level of respect and admiration for what these guys do on the tour week in and week out. To make money in that profession is, I mean, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. If you can go out and you can shoot, you know, a good number on Sunday at your club and you think like, you know, man, I should have given this golf thing a whirl. Like maybe, you know, maybe I'm going to try to, you have no chance. You have no chance. I mean, no chance seeing how good these guys are. And not only physically how good they are, but I think what you see in the series, which is cool, is what really makes these guys good, which is their mental makeup, their mental toughness, their ability to regulate and control their emotions. And I think there was an episode where Justin Thomas said it, where he was like, you know, when I stand over these putts, my heart is beating out of my chest and I have to calm myself down and hit the putt. You know, I think there was a perception for me a little bit that these guys are kind of superhuman. Like they don't really feel the pressure or like, they're so great. They're able to just manage it or whatever, but it's like, no, they feel it.
Yeah.
They feel every bit of it. Like we do. They're just able to get over the ball
and make it happen
and make it happen. And that's just like, yeah, nothing but respect.
Completely agree.
Overall, what's your
grade?
Yeah,
no, we had the pre score. Now after we've rehashed it a little bit, what's your score?
I give it a 7.5 out of 10. Like okay. I give it just a solid. It was good. I look forward to next season. I think it could get a little bit better. But thought it was really enjoyed it, and it was good TV.
Jordan.
Yeah, I talked about this with Ludeman, whose, I guess, episode just dropped. I think I said 7.3 out of 10 are rating it. Good. Wasn't upset that I watched it, learned a decent amount, but just left some stuff to be desired and thought that could know a little bit more. But generally speaking, good. Yeah. Good series.
I mean, I would say I'm personally slightly higher than that. I'm more like maybe 8. 8.1, something like that. Just simply like
a rookie score.
Simply like the idea, like for them to get this off the ground and get to access to Augusta National.
Yeah.
And like the access to all some of these places that they were able to get. And they got access to the microphones that are on tee boxes, and they had to coordinate all of this stuff. And for them to get all of that is just a huge endeavor in general. And it happened. And so I'm going to give an extra couple
and
bonus
say
points.
What you want about living all this stuff. Like there is an aspect of like Liv is forcing the PGA to like to make these decisions, do 100%. Things like this, and
yeah,
get true. Out there, and it's going to change TV deals. It's going to change the sport. It's good for it in a lot of different ways.
What about you, Johnny?
I completely agree. I think I would say I'm probably right about where you are, Tony. Just to be different, I'll say 8.2. I thought it was awesome just from like multiple angles of, you know, being a golfer, a golf fan. We've all seen these tournaments. We know what's going to happen, but they still did a good job of making it entertaining, giving us a little bit more behind the scenes stuff that we don't always see, but then also doing a good job of, you know, making it easy to watch and understand for people that aren't golf fans, right? Because I was watching it with my mom and I'm like talking her through all this stuff and they're explaining all how golf works. And I think that's, you know, we're all about trying to grow the game and that's one way to do it. So the last thing I'll say about it is in comparison with Drive to Survive and why I think there's, you know, hope for major golf fans and this show getting better is after the first season, they've already explained how the game works. You've met most of the players. You kind of get the deal. I think that'll give them more opportunity to dive a little bit deeper and show more of the stuff that they didn't show the first time around in following seasons.
So. I think we're all hoping that's going to be the case. So, yeah. Overall, this has been a really fun episode to chat about, and we would love to hear some of our listeners' thoughts on the episodes and challenge us on some of our points maybe, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah,
so
I learned a lot about you guys too and your opinions on players and things in general. So that was great. That was fun, boys.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Till next time.
Later.